Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On KFH.
All right, welcome back. Music courtesy of our friend Mike Purchase today. You know Mike.
Yeah.
He will likely be here tomorrow, I would assume, to talk movies. I watched some movies this weekend, catching up on them. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Interesting.
There's some movies that I should have already seen, but I had.
How old are these movies?
Well, they came out like this year or last year, but
not too bad.
Still should have seen them. Let's go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline where Taylor Eldridge awaits. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much, guys, for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Happy to have you. You were covering the NBA Finals last week for the Wichita Eagle. You normally obviously cover Wichita State Athletics, but a lot of Wichita connections in this NBA Finals. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, as a basketball fan, first off, that was an amazing experience, not only to see, you know, some of the best, you know, the biggest superstars in the NBA, but also for me, I kind of geeked out over, you know, the media that was there, you know, guys that I read, podcasts I listen to, you know, Zach Lowe, I'm a huge fan of. I was able to meet him. You know, you see Windhorst, you know, Ramona Shelburne, Rachel Nichols, people like that. It's just really cool. And a lot of former players were there, too.
Sage? So, was Sage there?
She was, yeah.
Okay, we both have a little bit of a Sage thing going, but it's cool. Go continue.
Yeah, so it was really cool. And then, yeah, to talk to Fred, that was really cool, too, to see him on this stage, you know, performing. He's probably playing his best basketball right now on the biggest stage. So just, overall, really cool experience. I love the Bay Area, so real cool to go out there and to get to watch, you know, two great basketball games.
Well, when you're talking about the media and how many people are there, I'd like to have a rough estimate if you could do that to start with. But on the backside of that, how difficult is it to get to a guy or to get to somebody that you want to talk to? Do you have to call and get something set up, or do you have to fight through 15 other people to talk to somebody? How does that work for you?
Yeah, well, to answer the first question, yeah, there were so many people credentialed for it that they I think there was like three times as many credentials as there were like press seats available. So I was able just to stand up kind of in the back row and watch the game. And so, yeah, there's a ton of media there and obviously a sellout crowd. So a really cool environment. But, yeah, also to get to Fred. Really tough, obviously, because he blew up last week. You know, everyone wanted to talk to him. He was playing so well. So, I mean, he's one of the, you know, the main, he's a great quote, too. So the media were kind of flocking to him. So I kind of had to set it up where, you know, I caught him after one of his interviews and kind of asked him, like, hey, is there any way we can talk before a game, after a game, kind of set something up. And, you know, I've talked to him before, so I've kind of had that relationship and that kind of helped. So he's like, yeah, talk to me before game four. And so I was able to go in the locker room and talk to him and get, you know, 10, 15 minutes with Fred and really appreciated it. He gave me kind of a one-on-one. Everyone else wanted to talk to him, but he's like, no, I got to, you know, I'm hooking the hometown guy up. So he's a really cool guy. I really appreciated him giving me the time. And but yeah, that's kind of how you had to set it up, was you just have to talk to him and kind of schedule a time with him.
Talking with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. Jason, you got a follow-up on
that?
Yeah,
just follow-up, obviously, getting to talk to Fred. And I'm curious, obviously, because I'm Canadian. What's he think about Canada? What's he think about Toronto? Did he say much about that and obviously the fan base back there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously all the Raptors just think it's, you know, it's such a wild fan base. And it was really cool after game four in Oakland. when the Raptors had won, taking the 3-1 lead, and all the Raptors fans had kind of migrated to the lower bowl, and it was just like a big, you know, the Jurassic Park had moved to Oakland, and really surreal scene. And yeah, all those players really appreciate the love and the support. And I mean, you saw last night, the crowd was just absolutely wild, you know, probably the best atmosphere, you know, in the NBA right now, just because it's not just Toronto, it's like all of Canada that's behind this team. So yeah, I mean, Fred said that, you know, it's similar to, you know, Wichita State, you know, Shocker Nation. He really appreciates the love and support. So to go from one great fan base to another and have both of them, you know, united behind him, it's been really cool. So yeah, he loves the Canadians. And he did say after game four, when he lost the tooth, or he got it chipped out, somebody asked him, "Do you feel more Canadian now?" And he's like, "Man, I don't. If this is what being Canadian is like, I don't want to be it. Like, I'm down with the." He said he was fine with the blood, fine with the stitches, but not a fan of losing the tooth. So he's like, "This isn't for me." But I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, no doubt. Taylor Eldridge, our guest from the Wichita Eagle, he was at the NBA Finals last week. What was the scuttle? But on Kevin Durant. While you were in Oakland, obviously he comes back. Who knows if he was really ready, re-injured, maybe misses the entire next season, depending on how his MRI results come out. But what was the talk about Durant while you were in Oakland?
Yeah, it was, I mean, at that time, it was pretty clear that he wasn't going to come back. It seems like, you know, because it was a quick turnaround. I think they played Wednesday and Friday. So, you know, just 2 days. Or one day in between games. So it's pretty clear he wasn't going to play game four, but there was hope, there was optimism, you know, that he would return in Toronto for game five, you know, series on the line. It was just kind of a weird, you know, feeling in Oracle, because, you know, when's the last time they got beat back-to-back games at home? So, yeah, you never really got to experience the crowd at, like, you know, full tilt 100%, because, you know, game three, the Raptors just took it to them, like, from the jump. You know, they were up to about 10 the whole game and never was really in question. And then game four, you know, Warriors had a slight halftime lead, and then Kawhi Leonard comes out and hits those back-to-back threes to start the third. And ever since then, the Raptors kind of took control of that one. So just real kind of a strange feeling. But, yeah, I mean, not a lot of talk about Durant, just because he was out. And, you know, obviously really unfortunate injury, you know, one of the game's best players, if not the best player right now. So that's a bummer for the whole NBA if he's going to miss significant time.
Well, when you were down there, did you see him? Was he on the court at all with the teams before the games? Was anything said? Was there a chance he'd come back? Or do you think that maybe because they were down 3-1, they pushed him back a little bit?
Yeah, I didn't see him much when I was there. I was mostly focused on, you know, the Raptors side, trying to get, like, Van Fleet stuff. So I wasn't really paying that close of attention. But I didn't see him at all. I know he was, you know, in the arena. But, yeah, I think that, you know, down 3-1, if that series 2-2, maybe he doesn't come back. But I think just because, you know, that's their season on the line, I think that's definitely played a role in him wanting to come back. And then ultimately, the, you know, the training staff releasing him to play.
All right, Taylor Eldridge, our guest from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas.com. You can read his work in those entities. Let's talk about the basketball tournament, the bracket released today, that $2 million tournament held every summer. Wichita's bracket includes, or Wichita's regional, I guess, includes alumni teams from KU and K-State. And they meet Iowa United, a group that has players from Iowa, Drake, Iowa State. What did you think of the bracket, especially Wichita's regional that came out today?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely one of the more stronger regionals. You look at the ESPN put out a kind of a power rankings for all 64 teams in the tournament. And, you know, a lot of, you know, highly ranked teams in Wichita. You have Marquette at number five, who's the number one seed. And then you have KU is at 9. And then Wichita State was at 15. And I believe Colorado was around 20. And then K-State was around like 24, 25, something like that. So, you know, those are five of the top 25 teams right there. Only one team advances. So, you know, this is a stacked regional. You know, everyone's going to look at the bracket and immediately pencil in, you know, that Wichita State-KU matchup round two. And obviously they're going to be the favorites in both of those first round matches. So everyone wants to see those two teams win. And I think, you know, KU versus Wichita State, you know, even if it is alumni teams, I think Coke Arena would be going crazy for that matchup. I think that's the game that everyone wants to see. So I think that's what everyone's focus is. Just make sure they win that first round game, and then we'll get Wichita State KU on I think Saturday.
So what do you think of this tournament on a whole? You know, obviously these guys are going to come in. They might only play one game, and it's see you later. Do you like the tournament? Do you like the setup? Do you like seeing the guys come back? And then obviously, how do you think it'll be perceived here in Wichita?
Yeah, I like this idea. I like that, especially now that they're gearing it more towards alumni teams. I think that's the next step. Right now, or in the past, it's been, you know, a handful of alumni teams sprinkled in, and then just kind of a mishmash teams. And it's kind of hard to, you know, get a fan base united behind a team where, you know, there's eight guys from eight different places. But, you know, if you have alumni teams, then you can get, you know, college basketball fans really involved into this. And especially, you know, you look at K-State, this is a perfect example. If they can get, you know, Jacob Pullen, Michael Beasley, guys like that, then you're going to get, you know, the entire K-State fan base really, really into this. And I think it just gives that opportunity for, you know, college fan bases to kind of, you know, relive the glory years, you know, watch guys that never played together, you know, get a chance to team up, you know, Clee Early and, you know, Connor Frankamp, Shaq Morris, Raglan, you know, guys like that who, or, you know, Garrick Stutz, you know, from the early days too, guys like that who came in different eras, to watch them be able to play together, you know, as a Wichita State alumni team is really, really cool. And, you know, obviously, just look at the sales as far as, you know, how Wichita is embracing this. They're going to shatter every record the TBT has. You know, they've already broken the sales record. They're going to break the attendance record. So yeah, this is it's been a huge, huge hit for Wichita. TBT has just been blown away by how much support, how much, you know, how crazy Wichita's fans got, you know, that early. Cause I mean, they broke the sales record, you know, way back, you know, before the matchups were even announced. So, TBT has just been blown away by this kind of support. And I think, yeah, Wichita, this is definitely something where they're going to, you know, keep returning to Wichita because they know this is, you know, a cash cow. And with that much money on the line, I think they're going to start getting, you know, better and better teams because there's a $51,000, you know, purse on the line now for the team that wins.
Before we let you go, Taylor, any potential additions to the Wichita State team, the aftershocks, as we move closer?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people keep asking me, you know, is Ron Baker going to play? I don't think that's going to happen. He's still rehabbing his injury. I think he had a shoulder surgery in the off season, so that's still going to hold him out. So people are kind of hanging on to hope for that. I would not hold my breath. As far as changes, they did add a player from North Texas today, Shannon Shorter, just depth for the team. They have a couple point guards that are banged up right now. So, you know, I think Malcolm Armstead and Joe Raglan are the guys that are kind of nursing injuries. So if they're not able to go, then they have some depth there. But, you know, the roster that was announced, that's the group that they're going with. And it's, you know, a star-studded roster. So I think this is a team that can, you know, make some serious noise. And, you know, they're going to have to play well to win this regional. And but I think they have the pieces to do it.
Very good, Taylor. We appreciate your insight as always. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, you too. Taylor Eldridge. Yeah, that's what's weird. I was waiting for him to say that they were bringing in someone who was not from Wichita State, because the top seed in this tournament is the Syracuse alumni team, Boeheim's Army, and one of their best players is a former NBAer, Jordan Crawford, who went to Xavier.
Yeah, so how does it work? Like, do they have to have a certain amount? It doesn't matter. You're just saying
you don't have to have
you
anything.
Don't have to any, do you? But they're just kind of running it through, saying that this is from. Yeah, I get it.
You can have anybody can play. I think
right.
I saw, like, I don't think he's on the roster, maybe, but he was listed as a player, and I don't remember for what team. But Andre Drummond, who plays for the Pistons, why would he play?
I don't know. It makes no sense.
He was listed on a team's roster, not as a GM, I don't think. But anybody can play. I don't know what the actual roster rules are.
Well, back to what Taylor was saying about, you know, going to alumni and stuff like that, I think it would be better, and I think it would be better for fans and fan bases if you had to have at least a certain amount of the alumni on that team, even half, five or six guys. But at least you have that, your main base is your alumni. I think it would be a lot better. I think fans would accept that a lot more. Like he said about, you know, if Michael Beasley comes for K-State, K-State people are going to follow that. But if you're just using K-State and you have one guy on there and everybody from everybody else, are they really going to follow it? Probably not.
Here's what I like about the tournament is that it's such a – it feels like an even playing field. Whereas, you know, you can get North Carolina alumni. Okay, well, we got Vince Carter or somebody like that. The disparity between the North Carolina guy who's not playing in the NBA and the best Wichita State player who's not playing in the NBA, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's even.
Yes.
These guys are all playing overseas. The competition level's pretty similar. They have similar skills. We're not going to see – I wouldn't think one team, especially in this region, just run other teams out of the gym.
No, I wouldn't think so. I'm sure there'll be a couple teams like that. I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes with this many teams. But I think, as painful as it is, I agree with you fact that it's probably...
Pretty smart take, wasn't it?
It was actually a very smart take that the competition should be pretty even, pretty evenly matched. The parity should be really good in this tournament. And the fact that Wichita gets to hold it, I think it's going to be a blast. Should be a lot of fun to go out and see.
DeMarcus Cousins has a team in this tournament that includes Daniel Orton, who came from Kentucky, played a little bit in the NBA. Darius Johnson Odom, who played at Hutch, and then Marquette, and a little bit, I think, for the Lakers. So this will be fun. Why is he not on the Marquette team? Who knows?
Don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Isaiah Austin, the player from Baylor, who had that heart condition, kept him from playing in the NBA. So a lot of names in this tournament, obviously, guys you've heard of, played big-time college basketball. It should be fun. It's coming to Wichita next month. Max, let's take a break. We need two callers right now to play a World Series of Face-Off qualifier, 869-1240. We've got, 17 in? 18? Need to fill the field before we start the tournament next month, so... If you want to be in, 869-1240, we may have a spot for you. Stay with us. It's The Drive on KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.